Hey everyone, welcome back to my channel, Journey with Roman. And, you know, I got my party lights, people. Yes, I got my party lights, so it's all colorful and shit, and I'm just vibing. That's what I'm doing. I'm just, as per usual, just listening to music and just vibing. Alright, so today I just want to take a look at one of the most significant albums of this particular artist's career. You know, I would definitely say significant because, I mean, it literally spawned like some of the biggest songs from that era. And we're talking about Loud, Rihanna Loud. Like, I mean, it's celebrated its 10th year anniversary, and honestly, I just wanted to just go back to the album and have thoughts. I have thoughts, like, I have so much to say about that. For real. So, I'll be, you know, reviewing the albums, exploring some of the themes, you know, that were evident on the album, and also just seeing how well it has aged 10 years later. So, I don't know if you're ready, but I am. So I got my party lights on, I rolled my weed, and honestly I feel like that is very important for me, especially when I'm going to like listen to music and shit like that, because I get like very, when I say retrospective when I'm high. Well, I mean, I'm already high right now, but I get like really retrospective when I'm high, and listening to music, it's more than just the music. It's like the song plays and it's like a movie, like in my head. You know, it's like, you know, the beat just add to the scene and the lyrics just make up the plot. Yeah, I guess that's kind of why I'm kind of like musical as well. I don't maybe it's just me. I don't know. Yeah, that's how I listen to music. Right? Did you feel that? Anyways, right off the bat, I just want to say that this album literally has no skips, like, at all. It didn't have any skips when it was dropped in 2010, and like right now it still has no skips. I mean, like, come on. It is personally my favorite Rihanna album. I wouldn't say it's the biggest, but at the time it was the biggest, because it was definitely bigger than her previous albums. No shade. I mean, like, as of 2018, this album is now triple platinum and has spawned, you know, hits such as like Only Girl in the World and like What's My Name, Man Down, California King Bed, S&M. And you know, I actually do have some thoughts on S&M. Yes I do. What are the other ones? Rainy Man and Cheers. Oh my gosh, there were like so many. Like, this album literally had like, oh shit, why is my phone beeping? Okay. Shannon and Shane talking about Housewives of Potomac. Okay. Won't get distracted. Anyway, so I was saying, like this album literally, like, just dropped singles, like, literally left, right, and single. Like, we just needed a catch, no breath. Like, them just like come one after the other. And I feel like that really helped the album. And I think the marketing team for the album was, like, very strategic, because each of those singles, most of them, had their own individual, you know, music videos, and that really helped push the sale, you know, like literally the more, yes, I think at that point it was like the more you're seeing me like on your screen, because I mean MTV was like the shit back then, and you hear radio plays because those are actually single and they come one after the other. So it's like most of all I could hear probably your song them. So it's like literally boost the album sales, and I feel like that was like so strategic, and the marketing for that album was like phenomenal for sure. I mean, like, I'm still mad that it only reached like top 3 on the Billboard 200, but I mean it was a strong one. I mean, that was her highest album like chart to date at that point, so love that for her. I'm still mad it didn't get number one, but you know, that's just me being biased. That was just me being biased. And so as Mina said, like, each of the singles literally had their own individual videos. And can I just talk about like the red hair of bitch? Rena really came and said, let me serve these girls some of this Jessica Red Habit red hair tease. And she was really serving it up in these videos. Like, I mean, I feel like that kind of like inspired me to always go red hair as well, because I would literally just bleach my hair and just go red, like different shades of red. Like, sometimes I would be rusty, like a rusty red. Sometimes I would be like, oof, what's this in my weed? Stem. Oh, okay. Sometimes I would be like, you know, like maybe a dark shade, like envy red. But yeah, she definitely inspired my red hair phase. Like, I normally call it my loud phase. So yeah, and she was definitely serving it up, serving in every single video. And I love how they marketed that. I feel like it was really good. And I mean, it was just, it literally one of Rihanna's like best era. Like, that red hair was one of Rihanna's best eras, like best eras to date, for real. Okay, actually my go-to as well. And one thing I loved about this album, I felt like Rihanna was just like really happy with this. I mean, she said that, you know, after what happened with the last albums, like where she was mostly doing like dark, gritty, you know, rock theme tracks that explored more darker themes, she wanted to have a different approach for this particular album. And you know, she, EDM was kind of like on the rise at that time, and she was like, you know what, like, found a new man, making more money, no longer sad, I got this red hair drip, like, I want to serve it, I want to give it to the girls. And I felt like that's what she did. That is exactly what she did. And you know, I wanted to talk about the Rated R. I was actually supposed to give a commentary on the Rated R album, and I probably will, but I just wanted to do this first. You know, like, I wanted to do this since it's 10-year anniversary, and I definitely will be giving a commentary on Rated R, so definitely stay tuned for that. I feel like when that album dropped like a year earlier, you definitely saw a shift in her music discography. I mean, her brand change. Like, she stepped away from making like the cookie cutter, you know, pop radio friendly song to a more like grittier, dark rock elements. I mean, that was from the Rated R album. But this time she was like, I'm gonna switch it up. Give the girls diversity, and further cemented her ability to like really be able to do anything, like sonically, like musically. Her voice has that versatility, and we definitely will never take that away from Rihanna. like, a lot of people said she can't sing, but I disagree, because to be able to have that dexterity in your voice to literally be able to switch through any genre, that is commendable. So like, all the people who say she can't sing, they're like haters. That's what they are. Haters. And you know, personally, I feel like that's why I've always been a fan, because it's like I could always relate to her, because her music always kind of like documents where she is personally. It could be like personally, mentally, and how she is at that time. And as we've seen with Rated R, and we've seen it with Load, you know, she was more, and the music and the themes surrounding the album definitely gave you that particular vibe and that feeling, because the up-tempo EDM tracks, you know, that makes you want to dance and, you know, don't mind me. But it's definitely why I feel that her music is so relatable, because a lot of times persons like them create music based on, you know, what the music taste is, you know, what's popular at that time. And I mean, that's fine, you're still a creator, still exercising your creative talent, but it's like a difference when you're able to create a music that is classic and is still relatable and is able to give you that particular vibe when you are looking for it, if that makes sense. Because if I go and listen to Loud, I'm expecting like what it gave, which is up-tempo songs that makes you want to dance, makes you feel sassy. There is no like negative songs on the album, and that's definitely one of the things that I really love about it. And that's how I feel about each and every single one of the songs that were released as single. Because I mean, let's talk about Only Girls. I mean, that was to me the perfect pop song at the time, if there ever was one. I mean, it was an up-tempo EDM music that definitely, as I mentioned before, had the perfect amount of EDM and pop that was able to make it an instant classic. And I still listen to this song and like, don't judge. But I literally listen to this album and be like a seductress getting like teasing, you know, her BFF, you know, just tied him up and letting him know that I'm the only one. Am I the only one? Probably. But anyways, just me. But just when I thought that I wasn't able to like really recover, because let me tell you, like this summer, it's probably one of my favorite summers. Because I mean, like all the songs, like 2009, 2010 was like, the summer was like so busy. I mean, like when it be like somebody that can recover from Only Girls, like what's my name drop? Bitch. Like, what's my name, sir? Red hair, the Caribbean vibes, the drums, like the beats, like everything about it was just like so amazing. And I don't know if y'all remember, but that was around the same time that the Illuminati conspiracies were flying around. Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that. Yeah, don't mind the book, I just have some notes. Going through as usual. I give notes. Yeah, talking about how she was chanting in the song. You want to see me?
Every time you hear the song, me, I just chant. Chant what I do not know. Sis, but me that chant.
But for some reason, like, me just feel like back then, like, songs used to really get differently when I'm saying Illuminati used to run the place.
Everybody that sacrificed somebody just to get bus. Because all of a sudden, all of them songs that get big, I feel like
that need to start happening again. Like, somebody need to start putting out their rumor there. Maybe people will start listening to other people music and really save the industry. Child, just saying.
And I love when
Rihanna, you know, kind of like goes into her Caribbean roots. And honestly, I can't really be mad that it's dancehall or reggae. Because I mean, Miss Rihanna, Robin Rihanna Fenty. She's a good sis from Matches Lane. You know, yes, ma'am. Man Down was like a perfect ballad. Because I always love when Rihanna, I was just coming with like the perfect ballad, like Man Down, California King Bad. Like, those are really great emotional ballad songs where a lot of persons wouldn't be used as she can do, but she does them pretty well. And she kept it, like, really authentic in terms of the reggae Caribbean sound. And I have to really, you know, applaud the authenticity of it. And I definitely wouldn't expect anything less from Miss Robin Rihanna Fenty. I mean, she's Caribbean. I mean, you know? And girl, like, man, don't legit, man, me feel like, when we feel anxiety today, you know? Like, oh gosh, Jesus, please, me just kill my, man, like, me have to tell my mother, like, me have to go, I don't know. The same anxiety today. Yeah, I feel every time I listen to the song. So, by the time Raining Men came out as a single, I think it was like a promotional, like not really like a major single, which is, I feel like, was a huge miss. I feel like that was the only issue with the marketing, because I feel like this could have been marketed better. Because I mean, this was song was an easy bop, like an easy bop. And like, I don't care if people said that it sounded unfinished. I mean, that was the whole point. Like, I mean, it's supposed to be like sassy, to the point, braggadocious, go up in their face and just dip. Legit. And I mean, you had like two major stars at the time, Rihanna and Nicki. Like, those were my two personal faves at the time, like on a track. Like, I'm still mad there wasn't a video there. Like, there should have been a video. Hopefully we can get one. Like, I'm manifesting that. Manifesting that. Yes. Alright. So, theory. Looking back and listening to the album again, like, I felt like this album was kind of like a diary for the love triangle Rihanna developed with both Chris and Drake. Because, I mean, she's happy and it's obvious, but if you, like, really listen to some of the tracks, like, Complicated, where in the song she talks about her complicated lover, you know, wanting to be there and not wanting to be there, you know, wanting to leave but can't really leave. I mean, if you look at the timeline between Rihanna, Chris and Drake, it was around the same time as well, so could be me, but I just feel like subliminally all of them sang to just add up, but it could be. And, you know, some of my personal fees were, like, from the D cup, the deep cuts. And people always ask me, like, what are deep cuts? So, for my listeners who don't know what deep cuts are, when referring to an album, deep cuts are generally songs that you would find on an album that aren't necessarily played on the radio. For example, you might hear a song like Skin, one of my personal faves. I mean, like, that song was like so sexual. I mean, it's one of the most sexual songs I've heard. Like, still have memories, which I don't want to go into, but memories nonetheless. So yeah, so songs like Deep Cutters, like songs like Skin, Complicated, I would say, so I said like Fading. Oh, Fading was a good one. Fading was a good one. Ooh, I love Fading. But I mean, the song, this, I'm just like soaking up the album and just going over some of the songs. It was like so good. And I want to talk about S&M. Yes, S&M, because I do have some thoughts about that. Because I mean, I thought the album was great. I thought the song was great. I thought the video, okay, I didn't expect video, but it was sickening. I didn't hate it, you know what I mean? But the outcry, the backlash that it got, that just never made no sense to me. Because I mean, it's like super funny when other white female pop stars can do that, but Rihanna can't. Because I mean, hello, Rihanna, I mean, Britney Spears did dance on a pole legit 3 years earlier, but nobody said anything about that, saying that, oh, it was just a phase, she was going through a thing. But again, black female artists at the time weren't able to explore and embrace their femininity and want to delve into that. And Rihanna went through it, Beyonce went through it, Nicki Minaj went through it, and it just shows the double standard that there was at that time, definitely in the music industry. But I digress. Overall, in my humble opinion, you know, the album definitely aged well for me. Particular tracks like What My Name, Only Girls, and Love the Way You Lie, definitely with Eminem. Still a good track, still a good album. I would definitely go back and listen to it, and I think it aged well, definitely. So that's how I think about it. Still a bop. Stole that from Zach. I hope you assume the feed. But anyways, you can follow me on my Twitter at Prima Donna Boy. No, that's not my name. My at sign is Awkward Boy. Awkward Queer Boy. No, Awkward Queer J. Yeah. Somebody. That sign is Awkward Queer J. A. That's right. So just go ahead and just follow me there for when I post suggestions of which album I should review next. And you might just hear me review it. So thank y'all for listening, and join me on the next one.